And for those of you that have now joined us in video mode, welcome into Long Meadow Church, the Brethren. Our scripture lesson today comes from Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 26. Now, as you are looking for that diligently, as I know you are, I was chatting with Marvin yesterday afternoon, and we were discussing things, and he was like, "Please don't make a joke about my head." And I said, "I won't this Sunday. Can't promise it every Sunday, but I won't this Sunday." And we were talking about how we were immune to the virus. I grew up on a dairy farm. The stuff I've inhaled over the years, there ain't no possible way. And Marvin brought up the fact that I grew up in the mountains. And we drank from the same bucket. And it got me thinking about today's humorous moment. The great humorist, not comedian, Jerry Clower tells a story. You see, Jerry Clower, after he went and served his time for his country, Jerry Clower went to college and got himself an education. And that's exactly how he would say it. And Jerry Clower became so educated in biology and chemistry that he began to sell fertilizer all over the South. And they give him a car and a fancy set of clothes. He says, "But I was still the same boy from Route 4 Liberty, Mississippi, who grew up picking cotton. Poor. But," he said, "one day I pulled up and called on a farm. And now, man, it was hot. It was August in Georgia. Oh, it was hot. And I was thirsty, and I pulled up and I saw the well. And I knew that the well meant cool spring water." Anybody in this room ever drank from the wells with cool spring water? Say amen. Amen. That's right. And he said, "I walked over to it before I went to call on him. And I noticed as I was walking to it that sitting out in the front yard by the porch was three old women. And they was talking. And as I neared the well, I noticed that the three women had chewed tobacco, which was not an uncustomary thing in his time. And they had tobacco stains on their shirt and down their neck. And as I got over and they drew me up the bucket to hand me the dipper. And I thought, ain't no way in the world I'm going to drink from the same dipper as them." He said, "Now, I thanked them as the bucket come up. And I picked up the dipper and I got to looking at it. And I noticed it was made with a handle that had a hole that went from the edge of the ladle up the handle and out like a straw. I said, well, I got it. And I dipped up the water and I picked that thing up and I started drinking ever so carefully down through the end of the handle into the straw. And I was feeling pretty proud of my educated self when I heard one of the old women poke the other one and say, look at that smart man. He drinks from that thing just like I do." Learned me a lesson that day, I did. Our scripture lesson today, is that a good one, Marvin? Our scripture lesson today comes from Paul's letter to the church in Galatia. Starting in the 13th verse, here on this 4th of July, "You, my brothers, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love." The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Jesus, to Christ Jesus, have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, envying each other. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as these words come forth today, let them make sense. Let these ramblings of my mind come strong. Let them be for you, not my gratification, not for me, but that you may be lifted up. Father, hear these words on our hearts as we use them to go along this week and strengthen us forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of his children said, Amen. Amen. You're a little weak on the Amen course there, folks. I know it's hot in here, and I promise you that for the next 2 hours, I'll keep you awake. Now, let it be known for those of you in this building and those of you watching, this sermon is about to get real patriotic. If you don't like it, walk out the door and turn the video off, because I am going full wide open. Let it be known, today we will have love of country and we will thank Jesus, the author of our faith. Let it be known, today, right here, right now, we will honor this land which God has given us. Let it be known today, there will be no shame for the USA, one nation under God. Let it be known. He was born on January 19, 1894, on a farm in the town of Eagle Point, Wisconsin. He grew up to manhood in that community. Do you know who I'm about to talk about?
I have an idea.
Of Gay. He grew up in that community, and in the summer of 1917, while working as a barber in that small town, he saw the winds of change blow, and World War I called him. He enlisted in the Army on 15 July 1917 in Cherokee, Iowa. He and his regiment landed in France in the early part of December 1917. On July 29, 1918, he was serving on the Western Front with the Company M-168 Infantry, 84th Brigade, 42nd Division, known as the famed Rainbow Division. The Rainbow Division had been in the thickest part of the fight, and the battle with which they were now engaged that day was the Chateau Thierry, would end up being recorded in history as the most important battle in all of World War I. On that day, the Yanks went across the river and up a hill, and a messenger was needed to deliver an important message to the company's platoons. In spite of heavy machine gun fire and artillery bombardment from the enemy, he, then 24 years of age, volunteered, grabbed the message, and ran out under fire within 50 feet of his platoon leader. At the age of 24, he was cut down by machine gun fire. He must have been important. He must have been somebody of some weight. Now, I promise you, I'm going to read this. I don't make any promises that I'm not going to break down. But his first inaugural speech, this young man at 24 years of age that had died on a battlefield in Europe, was important enough that he called him out. In 1981, Ronald Reagan, and this is an excerpt from his speech, his first inaugural speech, Ronald Reagan said these words, and I promise you. Well, I believe we, the Americans of today, are ready to act worthy of ourselves. ready to do what must be done to ensure happiness and liberty for our children, ourselves, our children's children. And as we renew our strengths here in our own land, as we renew ourselves, we will be seen as having greater strength throughout the world. We will again be the exemplar of our freedom and a beacon of hope for those who do not have freedom. To those neighbors and allies who share our freedom, we will strengthen our historic ties and assure them of our support and firm commitment. We will match loyalty with loyalty. We will strive for mutually beneficial relations. We will not use our friendship to impose on their sovereignty, for our own sovereignty is not for sale. As for the enemies of freedom, those who are potential adversaries, they will be reminded that peace is the highest aspiration of the American people. We will negotiate for it, sacrifice for it. We will not surrender for it, now or ever. Our forbearance should never be misunderstood. Our reluctance for conflict should not be misjudged as a failure of will. When action is required to preserve our national security, we will act. We will maintain sufficient strength to prevail if need be, knowing that if we do so, we have the best chance of never happening to use that strength. Above all, we must realize that no arsenal or no weapons in the arsenals of this world is so formidable as the will and moral courage of free men and free women. It is our weapon our adversaries in today's world do not have. It is a weapon that we as Americans do have. Let that be understood by those who practice terrorism and prey upon their neighbors. I'm told tens of thousands of prayer meetings are being held on this very day, and for that I am deeply grateful. We are a nation under God, and I believe that God intended for us to be free. It would be fitting and good, I think, if each of us on inaugural day in the future years should declare prayer and have a moment therein. This is our first time in our history that this ceremony has been held, as you've been told, on the west front of the Capitol. Standing here, one faces a magnificent vista, opening up on this city's special beauty and history. At the end of this open mall are those shrines to the giants on whose shoulders this country stands. Directly in front of me, the monument to a monumental man, George Washington, the father of our country. A man whose humility he came to reluctantly. He led America out of revolutionary victory into infant manhood, nationhood. Off to one side, the stately memorial to Thomas Jefferson. The Declaration of Independence flames with his eloquence. And then beyond that, the dignified columns of the Lincoln Memorial. Whoever would understand in his heart the meaning of America will find it in the life of Abraham Lincoln. Beyond those moments, those monuments to heroism, is the Potomac River. And on the far shore of the sloping hills of Arlington National Cemetery, with its row upon row of simple white markers bearing crosses or stars of David, they add up only to a tiny fraction of the price that has been paid for our freedom. Each of those markers is a monument to the kind of hero I spoke of earlier. Their lives ended in places called Belleau Wood, the Argonne, Omaha Beach, Salerno, halfway around the world, on Guadalcanal, Tarawa, Porkchop Hill, the Chosun Reservoir, and in 100 rice paddies and jungles of a place called Vietnam. Under such marker lies a young man, Martin Truptow, who left his small job at a small barbershop in a small town in 1917 to go to France with the famed Rainbow Division. And there on the Western Front, being killed, trying to carry a message between the battalions of heavy fire, we are told that on his body, as he died in front of his platoon leader, on the leaflet, he had written these words himself, called "My Pledge." Get your tissues. America must win this war. Therefore, I will work. I will save. I will sacrifice. I will endure. I will cheerfully and do my utmost to fight to preserve the freedom of this country, as if the issue of the whole struggle depends on me alone. The crisis we are facing today does not require of us the kind of sacrifice that Martin Truptow and so many thousands of others were called upon to make. It does require, however, our best effort, our willingness to believe in ourselves and to believe in our capacity to perform great deeds, to believe that together with God's help, we will resolve the problems that now confront us. After all, why shouldn't we believe that? We are Americans. God bless you and thank you. Thank you very much. Ronald Reagan. Amen. Let it be known that so long as we stand here and claim our independence, as we look toward the day, the 4th of July, our date of independence, we are not free. Not if we Christians, not if we claim the lineage to this country, let it be known today we will never be free. And that's a good thing. Paul writing to the Galatians, go back in that chapter for a moment. He wanted to explain what freedom meant. We were never given freedom. We were not given freedom in the way that so many people claim it to be. Paul's laying it out. In the 13th verse, he starts off, "You, my brothers, were called to be free." Do you know how we were called? They came in some simple words. Are you ready? I can do them by heart. Eloi, Eloi, Sama Thabakathani, my Father, my God, why have you forsaken me? We were called out from those words and bound in chain forevermore to the side of Jesus Christ, that we may have the freedom that he offered. Paul continues to write on. He says, "But do not use this freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather serve one another in love." What in the world happened? You said, oh no, you're right. I'm wound a little tight. As we approach the 4th of July, it is a moment in our history's time when we stop and we think about that day. I have my calendar that Bob and Pat Myers gave me so many years ago, my Glory of America calendar. And I read this calendar. And I probably, hopefully, in the entire time I'm preaching and use this calendar, will never use every passage in it, because it just flips around and you just... But I've got the one for July 3rd, and my man is talked about. And if you don't know who my man is, number 2 president, United States. Look out here, video land. John Adams. The reason. Can't wait to see him. He writes, "When independence became a reality, John Adams, who had fought so long and so hard for his vision of a new nation under God, was overwhelmed. As always, the person he wanted to share his feelings most with was his wife, Abigail. On this day, July 3rd, 1776, with the first post rider leaving for Massachusetts from Philadelphia, he dispatched a prophetic letter. The day, he said, quote, ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. It ought to be solemnized with pomp and parade, shows, games, sports, guns, bells, bonfires, and illuminations from one end of this continent to the other, from this time forevermore until we are called home. And what happened, in fact, from his book, David McCullough writes these words. The great day of celebration came Monday, July 8th. At noon in the State House yard, when the Declaration was read aloud before an exuberant crowd. With drums pounding, five battalions paraded through the city, flags whipped in the breeze. On the common gave us the, and I can't do French, but it comes out to 13 cannon blasts. Got out there and just started letting them rip. Notwithstanding the scarcity of power, as Adams recorded, bells rang throughout the day into the night. There were bonfires on street corners. Houses were illuminated with candles as planned. A half a dozen Philadelphians chosen for the honor took the king's arms down from the walls and carried it off to be thrown on a fire. Consumed! Fine starlight, quote, pleasant evening, recorded Adams' friend Christopher Marshall. There were bonfires, ringing bells, and great demonstrations of joy upon the unanimity and the agreement of the Declaration of Independence. How in the world can you be in this country and not be proud when you see Old Glory wave? How in the world can you not be in this country where we are free to proclaim the name Jesus Christ and understand that because we don't have freedom, we have the freedom to do that? Because we gave ourselves over to Him forever. Paul records it in the Galatians. He says, do not do sinful acts. The entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. How apropos is that? I used that word right, didn't I? Thank you, English teacher. I wrote it down to make sure I did. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will gain, you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. The spirit of this country is that of freedom, the freedom given us by Jesus Christ. You know, I read down through this scripture where he lays out the sinful nature, where he explains it very clearly and says once and for all that our freedom comes with a cost. Recently, we have seen countless numbers of demonstrations on television. I dare say nobody in this room has gone to see a riot or a demonstration, have you? Other than me. I've been near it. I haven't gone in it. I have been warned at length to stay away from it. But we have seen far and away too much biting on each other and devouring and hatred. And why? And when they start burning the American flag, thinking that they're changing people's minds, oh yes, you're changing minds, all right. You're making them stronger and stronger. We are reminded when we see that our freedom has never been free. That the Declaration of Independence that gave us the independence gave us the independence to proclaim our under ownership of Jesus Christ. Are you proud to be owned by Him? Say amen. Amen. As we look at this country, I have to do it. Simply because I can't help myself. I've read where, oh, we ought to take down the flag. Oh, we ought to do away with this. Oh, we ought to stop doing this. Oh, we're a nation of racists and bigots and all this, that, and the other. And I'm thinking, what? No. Yes. And we sung it. Mend thine every flaw. Have we made mistakes? Of course we have. We're stupid sometimes. But we have been given a solid moment. We have been given solid direction. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. In chapter 6, verse 7. A man reaps what he sows. Backing up into 5, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. That's what that stands for. So I have to do it. Simply because maybe I haven't done it for a while. I remember this one teacher to me. He was the greatest teacher, a real sage of his time. He had such wisdom. We were all reciting the Pledge of Allegiance one day, and he walked over. Mr. Laswell was his name, and he was the teacher at Vicente, Indiana, of Red Skelton. And he recorded these words. He said, "I've been listening to you boys and girls recite the Pledge of Allegiance one semester. And it seems to me as it's becoming monotonous to you. And if I may I recite it and try to explain to you the meaning of each word. I, me, an individual, a committee of one, pledge, dedicate all of my worldly goods to live without self-pity, allegiance, my love and devotion to the flag. Our standard, Old Glory, a symbol of freedom. Wherever she waves, there is respect because your loyalty has given her a dignity that shouts freedom is everybody's job. Of the United, that means we have all come together. States, individual communities that have divided into 48 great states and united. 48 individual communities with pride and dignity and purpose. All divided with imaginary boundaries, yet united to a common purpose, and that's love for country, of America and to the Republic. A state in which sovereign power is invested in representatives chosen by the people to govern. And the government is the people. And it's from the people to the leaders, not from the leaders to the people. Are you listening, D.C.? One nation, meaning so blessed by God. Indivisible. Incapable of being divided, with liberty, which is freedom, the right of power to live one's own life without threats, fear, or some sort of retaliation, and justice, the principle or quality of dealing fairly with others. For all, which means boys and girls, it is as much your country as it is mine. Since I was a small boy, 2 states have been added to our country, and 2 words have been added to the Pledge of Allegiance: under God." Wouldn't it be a pity if someone said, "That is a prayer, and that will be eliminated from schools too." When we take our freedoms to grant, when we don't pay attention to the fact that our freedom is not free, we lose sight of it. We become dispatched into everything that Paul lays out, the acts of the sinful nature. Recently I read where a Christian writer said we should never ever repeat the Pledge of Allegiance because we are showing our disdain for Jesus Christ. What? Are you stupid? I have to be careful with that statement. I got in trouble with it. Well, let me say this. I'd like you to stand up. Put your right hand over your heart. And if you can fall in line, you can fall in line. Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hail at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were
that our flag was still there. Oh, say doth that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave.
You may be seated. 56 men signed the Declaration of Independence. Their conviction resulted in untold sufferings for themselves and their families, but they did it out of love. Of the 56 men, 5 were captured by the British and tortured till they died. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned. 2 lost sons in the Revolutionary Army. Another had 2 sons captured. 9 of the 56 men fought and died from wounds or hardships of the war. Carter Braxton of Virginia, a wealthy planter and trader, saw his ship sunk by the British Navy. He saw his home and properties. He sold them to pay his debts and died in poverty. At the Battle of Yorktown, the British general Cornwallis had taken over Thomas Nelson's homes for his headquarters. Nelson rode up to George Washington and said, "Level it." And they opened fire on his home. Nelson died bankrupt. John Hart was driven from his wife's bedside as she lay dying. Their 13 children fled for their lives. His fields and mills were destroyed, and for over a year he lived in forest caves, returning home only to find his wife dead, his children gone, and several weeks later he died from exhaustion. 56 men, realizing freedom was not free, believing in the value of Jesus Christ, gave of themselves wholly, fully, and sacrificially in love, that we could sit here today and say, God bless the United States of America. The United Declaration of the 13 Colonies in Congress, July 4th, 1776, when in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Those among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Brothers and sisters, countrymen and countrywomen, let it be known, in the land of the free, I am not free, and I am proud. I live in the land given by God through Jesus Christ, and I am not independent, but forevermore dependent on Him, now and forever. Let it be known. And furthermore, I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word, a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Its words will I hide in my heart, that I might not sin against God. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it still stands. One brotherhood uniting all Christians in service and love. Let it be known that my freedom has been bought and paid by the greatest warrior of all times. And our sacrifice, our giving, our love will never go unnoticed. God bless the United States of America. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You for what You have done. We thank You that we are able to stand here and be in memory. We thank You that as this day comes forward, Father, that we would take a minute in prayer, out in the open or in our war closet, pray thank You unto You, Father, reminding ourselves the nation founded under You on the principles that Jesus taught. We lift up this body, we lift up our hearts, and we ask that as we go forward, we're ever reminded to love and serve one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have a particular need, reach out to me. If your heart is heavy, come leave it here on the bench. If you are watching this and need it, I ask that you simply reach out to someone you know that walks in the light. And may you be blessed now and going forward. Amen.